Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as I do every second Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Central Time. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I have had 10 careers so far and counting. And I have as my guest today, Jerry Shea. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him very shortly. But first, let me tell you a little bit about myself. My first career after arriving in the United States from Jamaica was as a fashion model. Then I was a singer on the NCA label, a corporate consultant for Accenture. Today, I'm a professional speaker, a trainer, and author of 5 books and 3 blogs, certified professional leadership and confidence coach for Forbes Coaches Council, and a radio show host. So let's set the tone for today's show. Billy Graham said, "The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith."
Today's show is brought to you by JAD Communications International. They specialize in personal development, coaching, and training. JAD Communications focuses on improving communications, managing people and expectations, increasing interpersonal skills, promoting respectful communications, and conflict resolution. Visit them online at www.jadcommunications.com and use the contact page to request more information.
So today's show I'd like to share with everybody is called Take Time to Teach Your Children Well. Author and inspirational speaker Jerry F. Shea will share a talk designed to help us understand the importance of parents and grandparents teaching their children and teenagers the art of meeting and greeting people the correct way. I want you to listen in as he explains the unbelievable encounters he has had trying to employ teenagers that did not even know how to shake his hand, let alone know how to wash dishes or clean a table or mop a floor at his coffee shop. His overall question is, why aren't parents and grandparents teaching kids the basics to survive in the real world? Let me tell you a little bit about Jerry F. Shea. He's been appearing on my show since 2012, and he has owned 6 different businesses. And is the author of the award-winning book, It's a Great Life, If You Don't Weaken, The Power of Next. Today, Mr. Shea is going to give us insights into why parents and grandparents need to take the time to prepare their children and grandchildren for the ways of life in the quote-unquote go-get-a-job business world that they will be entering. One of Mr. Shea's businesses was a coffee espresso bar that hired local high school and college students, and Mr. Shea said that he was amazed at the ability of some teenagers to know how to greet and meet people because many did not even know how to shake his hand. He's going to share some memorable experiences in working with our young Americans and explain why it is extremely important that parents and grandparents learn to teach your children well as they prepare to enter the working and business world. So welcome back to the show, Jerry X. Shea.
How you doing, Yvonne? It's great to be on your show again.
I'm so glad you're here because it's always a pleasure having you as a guest. You're so knowledgeable. I'd like to begin by saying I understand that your talk, Teach Your Children Well, is a relatively new talk. How did this talk come about?
Well, I was given a presentation on my book, It's a Great Life If You Don't Weaken, and an audience member raised their hand and said, "Do you have any advice for parents with teenagers that always seem to have their heads stuck on a cell phone?" And I think we've all experienced that in our grandchildren or children. And I said yes, and I gave some answers and some advice as to what I felt they could do. But when that talk was over, I started thinking, boy, you know, there's really a good talk here that I should focus on and develop because of my experience in dealing with a lot of teenagers when I did, in fact, and my wife and I owned a coffee shop. So with that, I put something together. I've been presenting it to community groups and organizations, and everyone has, it's been just very well received. So when I heard from you, I thought, there's the talk for your show. Let's talk to a larger audience and let them hear about it.
I completely agree. And you know what? I've noticed that myself. In fact, even some young adults who are recent college graduates don't know how to do that, you know? So,
yes, I do.
Can you give us a little overview, please?
Sure. Let's go back a bit, though, first. And I mean back, way back, about 35, 40 years ago. I'm with my wife, and we're in a mall, and we're getting ready to leave. She says, look, that store's having a sale. I'll be just a minute. Well, you know that's what a minute is when you walk into a store in a mall. So I said, all right, you go ahead. I'm going to sit down here, and I'm going to look at a local paper and just relax. And so while she went into the store to look around, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear this loud voice say, Mr. Smith! And I look up, and there's a young couple, I'll put in their early to mid-30s, with a little boy looked like about 7 or 8, and a little girl probably 5. And they obviously had run into his boss. And they approach, and he says, you remember my wife, Judy? And the guy says, yes, I do. How you doing? And then this proud father says, this is my son, Tommy. Tommy, go shake Mr. Smith's hand. And little Tommy walks over and sticks out his hand. It was kind of a aha moment there. And then he says, and this is my daughter, Susie. Susie, wave hi to Mr. Smith. And I jumped up out of my chair. And I wanted to walk over and say, Susie, you go over and shake Mr. Smith's hand, too. I was just flabbergasted that they didn't ask that little girl to go shake his hand. So again, like I say, 35, 40 years ago. So now let's move ahead. And my wife and I own this coffee shop in the 20s here. And our employees, we have some older people that are, you know, adults that are managers, the system managers. But they say our employees were the high school and college kids. And that's absolutely fine. For many, it was their very first job. And when they came in for an interview, it was the very first time in their life they'd ever gone on a job interview. Well, these kids would come in, and I would think that if my kid was going out the door, which they did to go look for a job, and I coached them, that someone would have said, now look, when you go meet the fellow that owns this coffee shop, shake hands, look him in the eye, say your name. And these kids would come in the door, Yvonne, and they're looking down at their shoes. They're handing me a dead fish handshake. There's just no life in that hand. They can't look at me. And I'm just like, what is going on here? This is so wrong. And then I would get the football player that would come in. And this guy thinks, well, he's supposed to bring me to my knees, just squeeze my hand as hard as he can. And I would say 9 out of 10 kids just did not know how to walk up, look in the eye, introduce themselves, and shake your hand. And I'm thinking, what is with parents these days? Why aren't they teaching their kids how to at least meet and greet people? In fact, I think you had a story on somebody in your family that took some kids somewhere and they didn't know how to meet and greet some sports players or something.
Oh, actually, that came out of Judge Judy's book. Said that she, got an opportunity to bring her grandchildren to meet some sports figures, and they were all goo-goo and gaga over the sports figures and all impressed with their celebrity and acting, you know, shy and all this kind of stuff. And then she said these other youngsters came up and they walked up to the athletes and they extended their hand and said, hi, my name is so-and-so, it's a pleasure to meet you, and so on. And she goes, in that moment, she realized that her own children had not taught her grandchildren how to introduce themselves to people. And she set about, you know, fixing that problem. So as we talked about having today's show, I thought to myself, boy, that's exactly what she was talking about. And that was not 35 years ago, I don't think. So
no, that was probably recently. And look, I mean, you know, she's just not somebody out there, but she was probably amazed and surprised that her kids were not teaching their children, her grandchildren, how to meet and greet. And it seems like it's out there all over the place. These kids are so involved with their cell phones and being on the internet that the basic of meeting and greeting someone. The sad part is, okay, so they're 15, 16-year-old now. What happens when they get off out into the real working world? They get off into college or they go out looking for a job. If they're going to walk in on a job interview looking at their toes and handing somebody a dead fish handshake, they're not going to get that job. That's just a simple.
Well, you know what, Jerry? I have them in my seminars all the time, and my seminars are for corporate clients. And these are all adults, many of them long out of college. And I can't tell you how often I get a limp handshake,
yeah,
or just their fingers. I'm not to the point where I show them how to do it.
Yes, I actually, in my workshops too, I just take a moment to go over the correct way to meet and greet people if you're going to go out into the world and try to sell your wares or talk to people. And yes, I agree with you. You get the person that gives you the water pump handshake where your arm's going up and down from the top of your head to your toes, and then you get the one that slips you two or three fingers. You're baffled. It's unbelievable that happens. But here's the thing. These kids, many of them would come in and, you know, we would always interview. I gave every kid an opportunity to at least get an interview. And if we didn't need any help right now, I would tell them that, you know, I'll hang on to your thing. And you know, if we need help, we'll perhaps give you a buzz. I would always call kids that would look me in the eye, that had more of an outgoing personality. Because when you're running a coffee shop, I think we've all been into a coffee shop where the person behind the cash register doesn't look at you, kind of mumbles, "What would you like?" doesn't greet you, doesn't say anything, and we did not want those type of people working in our coffee shop. They had to know how to greet the customer, give them a nice hello, "How are you? What can I get you today?" And that was one of the things that made our coffee shop great. Everybody loved our employees because they were friendly and outgoing. But having said that, there were still things about these kids that they just did not get from home. And let me give you a couple of little short stories here that are really very poignant in it. We hired a 17-year-old girl, darling girl, presented herself very nicely, came in for an interview and a dress. She could look me in the face. She could talk to me. So I figured, okay, I'm going to give this kid a chance. We had a position that was open, so I hired her. Day one on the job, I'm showing her around the coffee shop. I take her back into the kitchen. I said, "Let me show you how we wash and sanitize our dishes." Because we serve coffee in real cups. Unless it was coffee to go, then they get the styrofoam or cardboard cup. So I'm showing her how you wash, rinse, and sanitize these dishes, then put them in a drying rack. And when I'm done, I turn and I look at her, and she has this perplexed look on her face. And I said, "Would you like me to go over this again? You know, do you quite understand?" And she looks at me, she says, "Oh, Mr. Shea, I think I can do it. I've just never washed dishes before."
Wow.
17 years old, and she says she's never washed dishes before. So I said, "Wow." Oh, I thought of it, and I said, "Well, tell me, do you know how to cook?" And she says, "No, my mother does all the cooking and cleaning." How can you have a 17-year-old girl, 1 year left in high school, about to go out in the world, and she's never cleaned dishes, and she doesn't know how to cook? Now, the interesting thing on that particular young lady was, you know, I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is going to be a real challenge. She embraced working with us, working in our coffee shop, and actually learning how to wash and rinse and sanitize dishes, how to mop the floor. She became a great barista once she figured out how to run the machine, and we went through a lot of trials and errors of that because she had never even worked a Mixmaster, for crying out loud. And she became one of our best employees. She was outgoing. Customers loved her. She really knew how to make their drinks. She remembered who they were. And she just embraced working and doing things that she wasn't taught at home. It was unbelievable. I had another boy that was 15 years old. His first day on the job, I said, "Come on, let me show you how we wipe down the tables." I handed him a Windex bottle. We go outside. He kind of looks at the bottle, squeezes the trigger a few times, and he says, "It's broken." I said, "No, it's not broken. You have to turn it on." And I twisted the cap so it would spray. He'd never worked with a Windex bottle before.
Wow.
Yeah. It was things that you would expect to be just natural, just come natural to them because they're doing them at home. Boy, a lot of, I don't know if you call them overprotective parents or what you want to call them, helicopter parents, they're not giving their kids an opportunity to cook meals, to clean, to do things, and then they expect them to go out into the world. I mean, do they actually think that they're going to learn that in a school? or when they get to college, they're going to teach. No, these kids need to learn this at home from the parents. And if the grandparents recognize that these kids aren't doing things and don't know how to shake hands, grandparents should step in and say, you know, come here, Johnny. Let me show you how you shake hands. Come on over here, Judy. Let me show you how you shake hands. And help them. Somebody's got to help these kids because they're just going to go out in the world and they're going to, it's going to be a big shock when they can't do anything. And then you have the money side. Yvonne, I don't know what you did with your kids to teach them about money, but we had some kids that didn't understand a dollar at all. And the most outstanding one was a young boy. He was 16 years old. He comes in. During the interview, I said, what do you do for money? And he said, oh, I get $20 a week from my mom. And my friend gets $20. And I said, well, what do you do with the 20 bucks? He says, well, we go into town and we get a burger and then we go either rent a video or we'll maybe buy a CD. Okay. So he comes to work for us. He was a good little worker, nice kid. He's working for us for about 2 months. And we paid everybody every 2 weeks. At the end of the 2 months, payday's on Thursday, and it's a Tuesday. And he comes into my office, and he says, Mr. Shea, could I borrow some money? I don't have any money for lunch today. And I looked at him. I said, you have made over $600 in payroll and tips. And when you get paid in 2 days, it'll be close to $800, and you're telling me you have no money, you're flat broke, and he just kind of hung his head. What did this kid do with $600 when he was only getting $20 a week, and now he's making over $100 a week, and he has no money? Why aren't his parents, you know, sitting down and saying, okay, you made this money, this is going in savings, we're putting this over here. He blew all his money. No one was helping him with his money. Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh. I do believe it. I find it shocking, but I do believe it because in today's world, a lot of youngsters don't know anything about money because, as you said, those helicopter parents, they do everything for them. You know, one of the shocking things that I learned recently that just made my head explode and people said, oh, you should have known that. No, I didn't know that. There are parents that are paying people to do their kids' homework and take the test for their kids. And I'm like, well, it's great that you have enough money that you can do that, but you're actually hurting your own child by not teaching them about money, by not having them actually learn anything.
Sure.
Because someone else is taking the test. And by not having them even know, as you said, how to shake somebody's hand. I mean, it's out of control and kind of sad. I have them in my seminars sometimes, the grown-ups that came through that, and it's just mind-boggling.
It is.
Mind-boggling.
You know, one that really gets me, and I happened to see this just the other day again on a Facebook post, is you have to really think this one out. A parent that says, I don't want my kids to have to struggle like I did, and they give them everything. Now, that parent didn't have things, struggled, had to go get a job, had to work hard to get up to a status where they're basically living comfortably financially. But yet their emotion is, well, I don't want my kids to have to go through that, so their kids get everything. That's wrong. That is just so wrong. But, you know, what can I do? I'm an employer. I'm just trying to hire kids.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
you get that dysfunctional adult instead.
Yeah. There was one other one that was really, I found to be very sad. In another business that I had back in the 90s, and I just bought the business from somebody else, and I wanted to meet each employee individually and sit down with them. And I decided I didn't want to do it in my office, that I would take each person to breakfast. And so I line it up, so, you know, Monday I'm taking you to breakfast, Tuesday I'm taking you to breakfast, like that. And this one young man, he was 28 years old, he was married, he had two children. And we go out to breakfast, and I'm talking with him. I said, well, you know, tell me about your goals in life. And this 28-year-old kid, married, like I said, with a couple of kids. He says, goals? Oh, I don't do that kind of stuff. And I said, well, now, wait a minute. There must be some things you'd like to have in life, or, you know, there must be things you want to do, places you might like to go, things you'd like to have. There must be something. He says, yeah, I'd like to have a Porsche 911. Well, he's never going to get that on the job he had in my business. Here was, the only thing he wanted was something that was absolutely unattainable at that moment in his life. And that was his only goal. And I'm thinking, how can you be married, be raising children, and you have no goals, nothing in life? These type of things, just they're shocked, and you just kind of shake your head. What can you do? What can I do? So, you know, I tried to explain to him the idea of setting goals or whatever, and he didn't stay with me too much longer, and he was finally gone and down the road, and I don't know whatever happened to him. But it's just these type of things with these young kids, and the fact that I really feel many parents, now not all parents, there are parents that are teaching their kids well, and they're showing them the right things to do. But there's also an awful lot of them out there that just are not taking the time to sit the kids down and say, look, let's understand, you know, what money's really about. I had one girl, this poor girl, 20 years old. She was 20 years old. She'd been out in the workforce for a couple of years. When she came to work for us, I always would suggest every kid to go down to the bank and open a bank account and try and save some money. Some did. Some obviously didn't. And so when she went down, they said, would you like to have an ATM card? So she said, yeah, sounds good. So they gave her an ATM card. Well, a couple of weeks later, she puts the ATM into the slot, and it says insufficient funds. So she couldn't take any money out. And apparently, she didn't know what the word insufficient meant, but she remembered she had checks. So she started writing checks on a bank account that didn't have any money in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call in my office from a business down the street that says, hey, you know that employee you got, so-and-so, she just wrote a bounced check here. It came back, and oh, my goodness, I get a hold of it. Turns out she wrote three checks around town. She actually wrote a check to us. She wanted to buy some coffee for a friend as a gift, and one of her checks was her check, which bounced.
Well, you know what? I have a story or two that I could share with you myself. I often recommend book titles to my attendees because, of course, you cannot transfer all of your knowledge to them in the few hours that they spend with you. And so I'm recommending some books to read to continue after they leave the program. And a woman said to me, oh, I don't read. And I said, what do you mean? And she went, I haven't read a book since high school. And I said, didn't you say you have three children? And she goes, yeah. And I asked her, don't you read to your children? And she goes, no, I don't like to read. And I thought, you know, that's exactly that young man, right? If you have parents who don't have goals, and you have parents that don't read so that they instill in you a thirst for knowledge or a love of books or setting goals because they themselves don't set goals, then you're going to have that 28-year-old that you had, Jerry, who says, goals, what's that? I don't have any. And then that third generation, his children, they won't have any goals either because who are they going to learn it from? That's why
we
need grandparents to step in and help us with this, you know. To pay attention and help them.
It is just kind of a thing. And one of the things I do in my talks, and it reflects what you were just saying, is that when I'm giving this new talk, I see the eyes light up on the grandparents in the audience who probably do have their own kids, the grandchildren, anything. Because you can just see that the eyes light up, the head starts shaking. You know, if they're going, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've got a son or a daughter, and by Joe, they're not teaching those grandkids anything. And you know, and if you try to, you know, as a grandparent, if you try to step in too hard, now you're interfering. Now you're interfering with the raising of their children. That's a whole can of worms.
Oh yeah, that's a valid point because sometimes the children's parents get upset and think you are interfering. But you know what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The way I see it is, Would you let them drown in a swimming pool because their parents said, don't jump in after them, let them learn how to swim? No. You would jump in and save them, and then you would teach them how to swim so it doesn't happen any longer. So I don't buy that whole, I'm going to back off because I don't want the parents getting upset with me.
Right.
Because it's my grandchild, too.
Yeah. And you want to see the best for your grandchildren, just like you wanted to see the best for your children. And to watch the way things are happening and what's going on is just, it's unbelievable. I got another real quick story if we have time here. We got time? Okay.
Yes, we do.
Okay. My wife and I went to a restaurant to get a sandwich once. And the young lady is making the sandwich. She was obviously new to the sandwich place. And she's making the sandwich. And my wife said, yeah, I'll have onions on the sandwich. So the gal reaches into the little bin with onions, takes out two little slivers of onion, and puts it on the sandwich. And my wife said, a little more onions. And so she reaches in and grabs one little sliver of onion and puts it on the sandwich. And my wife said, could you just grab a handful of onions, just, you know, put them on my sandwich? To which the girl replies, I hate onions.
Well, it's not your food.
So my wife said, well, it's my sandwich, not yours. Put onions on it.
There you go. That's part of what we're doing. That's a great story. I think it's because they're, like you said at the beginning, their heads are down on the phone. They're in today's world, you know, they're all looking at their devices. They never look up. I have a friend on Facebook who was looking for a new girlfriend. And he said he's going to stop dating. And I said, why? And he said, because he's gone on several dates and they never look up. They don't even look up to look at the person that they are having dinner with. Now, if you don't even look up, you know, it's very hard for you to make connections with other human beings, including your children. Because a lot of times I've seen the parents ignoring the kids. The kids are looking at their devices, and the parents are looking at their devices. And so you have to look up long enough to teach your children well. You see what I mean?
That's right. Yes. Yes. And that's a whole very sad side of society, because these kids, the only way they know how to communicate is written words on a cell phone. That's it. Texting. They don't know how to look at somebody and carry on a conversation.
Exactly, which is what keeps me in business, because I'm a communications expert.
There you go.
because when they get into corporate America, and you see when they get into corporate America, like you're saying, during the interview, they don't know how to greet the interviewer and shake their hands because they're always looking down on their phone. You know, after the interview, as they're leaving, they don't know that you shake the person's hand as well on your way out and thank them for the opportunity to get this interview. And when you meet people at a networking event, you know, or a marketing event for your company, you're supposed to stick your hand out. It's a way of saying, hi there, nice to meet you. And I have manners. Good manners. Which
exactly.
is falling by the way these days, too.
I give talks to high school students, and it's amazing. You know, one of the first things I tell them is I say, I understand that when you see your friends, you're going to high-five them, you're going to fist bump. I said, that's great with your peers and when you're around your friends. When you step out the door and into the world, you're not going to walk up to me, and I'm not going to high-five you, and I'm not going to fist bump you. I'm going to expect to shake your hand. You better learn how to do it, and then I take through some exercises on how to meet and greet people. But, because that's where they're coming from, and you can't really blame the kid. To me, it goes back to the parent, the grandparents that are raising the kids.
Exactly.
Need to take some time and say, look, you know, it's great that you love to high-five your old buddy Jim there, but let's learn how to shake hands. Let's practice. Let's try it. Look me in the eye. And, boy, that's the hard part. They can't look.
They're on. Jerry, they're so uncomfortable with looking people in the eye. I once had an attendee, a young woman, probably in her early 30s, who threw her hands up in despair and said, "All this face-to-face communication is giving me a headache. I don't like it." And I thought to myself, you know, your company sent you here so that you would learn it.
Yeah.
and it's
too stressful.
That is what she said. She said it was way too stressful, all this face-to-face interaction and communication. She just couldn't take it. She was very, very frustrated. So now you don't know how, you have no goals, you don't read, you don't shake hands, you don't want to interact face-to-face, but you're going to work on a team and be successful in life.
Yeah, good. Good luck, and you forgot one other element, too. They don't know how to add.
Oh, the
math.
What?
They can't do math.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we had an incident where the power went off the building, but we could still make coffee and stuff, and we had plenty of hot coffee already brewed. And so I handed this employee a calculator. I said, "Here, when they come in, just use the calculator if you need to figure out the change." And we left the change drawer open because we needed electricity to open and shut. And somebody walked up to her and bought something. I don't know, it was for like $8.25. So they handed her a $10 bill and a quarter, and she didn't know what to do. She couldn't figure out how to make change.
I have seen that. So that's another thing grandparents can do to teach their children and grandchildren well. Because I had the encounter where I was in the store and something was on sale, like, I don't know, 70% off or something. I'm a big sale fanatic. And the young lady could not figure out what the price was. So I calculated it in my head and said, "Oh, here's what the price is." And so she didn't believe me. She pulled out her phone and started trying to figure it out. And after quite some time, and at which point I'm standing there just smiling at her, she finally goes, "Oh, you're right. How did you do that?" I go, "I did it in my head." You know? So that's another part of the problem and why we need to teach our children well, because they go out into society and it's difficult to earn a living and be a success in life if you can't do basic things like that. They do get very confused if you give them a 10 and a quarter, because usually the cash register figures it out.
Yeah, the cash register will do it for them, so they're always comfortable. Boy, if cash register isn't working or there's no power, and they don't know, they can't do it in their head, they can't do it with a calculator, they just can't do it. And that's, you know, I don't know. It's interesting to watch, and it's but at the same time, it is sad. And my wife and I were having a discussion when we owned the coffee shop. We said, you know, just what is our responsibility as the employer of employing these kids? Are we also supposed to teach them things that they should have learned at home? Well, in a sense, yes. Otherwise, they can't work. They can't work with customers. They can't work the equipment. They can't, you know, like I say, something as simple as
can't work with each other, because face to face is too hard.
Yeah. I get too nervous. We did have one poor boy that. And I couldn't, this wasn't, even his parents probably can't get blamed for this one. But it was his first day in the job, and one of the other employees said, "Okay, it's time to make another pot of coffee." And he said, you put 2.5 cups of coffee into the filter and, you know, hit this and hit the button. Water will automatically come in and make sure the pot's clean underneath it. Well, my wife walks by a little bit later, and the pot looked like tea. And she says, "Are you guys making tea? We usually don't make tea till around 3 o'clock. But why are you making tea?"
Wow. "Said,
we're not making tea." So "we're not making any tea." So they open up the lid. He put whole coffee beans in there. He didn't know they were supposed to be ground.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow.
But on that one, I can't blame him, because he probably doesn't drink coffee and just never made coffee at home or anything. So, but it was just
very
interesting. You know? The person who was teaching him forgot to mention take the coffee and grind them first and then put them into the coffee pot. It's interesting.
These are all great anecdotes and great examples of why this program is so important, why your teacher, your children well program is so critical. Take time. Take the time to teach your children, because you want to send them out into the world with the right tools. Do you have any final comments for our listeners?
Well, just basically my final comment is, again, the way I started off is that parents just need to take a little time to understand that these kids, in a sense, are being prepared to go out into the world. And I don't care if they're 9 or 10, they should still know how to shake hands with somebody, and they should at least know how to, you know, cook something, and how to wash and clean up some dishes. And so to see kids come along that don't have any idea of what just basic household domestic things you do, it's just unbelievable, because the parents are doing everything for them. So I think parting word is always get out there, teach your children well, but don't be afraid to teach them. Just as you were saying, you just kind of step in every once in a while and take charge and say, look, let me show you how you do this, because you're going to need to know this in life.
Yeah, I do that. I do that now. I say, oh, it's a coachable moment. Do you mind if I give you some on-the-spot coaching, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And I give them some coaching. It never turned me down, because often they don't even realize, you know, what they lack.
Yeah,
the skills they lack, like shaking hands and greeting people properly and knowing basic math and things like that. They're not even aware. So,
that's
like
right.
You said.
And, you know, I had a little trick that I did on the first day of the job for every new employee. As I'm walking them around the coffee shop, I would purposely take a towel, one of these little hand towels, and I would take them to show them the storage room. And as I walk into the storage room, I purposely drop the towel behind me. We go in the storage room. I say, this is where you find this. Here's cups. Here's this over here. And then when we go to leave, I make sure that they would walk out first. And when they open the door, there's that towel just laying on the floor. You'd be amazed how many of them stepped over it, kicked it out of the way. Every once in a while, I would get the charm. A guy or a gal would bend over, pick up the towel, and say, but where do you put your dirty towels? And you know that that's a kid that cleans up after themselves at home. All the rest of them, I guarantee you, their bedrooms are a mess.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Well, that's a great place to end it. Thank you, Jerry, for a very inspirational and informative interview.
Well, as always, I love being on your show. You take care, and to all your listening audience, get out there and teach your children well.
I agree. And my thanks to all of you for joining us today for the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. Join us again next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. And until then, let me leave you with this final thought. David Suzuki said, it doesn't give me any satisfaction to think that my concerns will be validated by my grandchildren's generation. I would love to be wrong in everything. My grandchildren are my stake in the near future, and it's my hope that they might one day say, quote, Grandpa was part of a great movement that helped to turn things around. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next month, and looking forward to it.